Consent matters because what would you rather do? Flub around and mess around and not know what anybody wants or likes and risk doing something that's unpleasant or worse? Or would you rather know, hey, this sounds fun. Yeah, this sounds fun. Let's try this. Let's try that. Which one of those sounds more fun to you? That's why consent matters.
Welcome into the expansive world of cis society, a space where taboos dissolve, shadows become allies, and sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality are celebrated as gateways to truth. This is Taboo Talks, a podcast where no topic is off limits, and everything is held with courage, compassion, and curiosity. Together, let's shatter the limits of what we've been taught to fear and transform it into the power to live fully, freely, and authentically.
Well, welcome back into this episode of Taboo Talks as we dive deep into the sacred art of consent, not just as a yes or no, but as an embodied, empowered dance of truth, boundaries, and radical self-respect. And our guest today is the brilliant Dr. Betty Martin, who has worked hands-on with people for over 40 years. 30 years in chiropractic and other healing modalities, followed by 15 years in somatic sex education and surrogate partner therapy. Her background also includes contact improvisation and other forms of embodied play. Dr. Martin is the creator of the Wheel of Consent, a groundbreaking model for understanding the dynamics of giving and receiving, rooted in touch but applicable far beyond. She's also the author of The Art of Receiving and Giving, The Wheel of Consent. And she developed a globally taught 5-day practitioner training, which she later passed on to a new generation of facilitators. Now retired from teaching, she continues to mentor a wide range of helping professionals, from psychotherapists to sex workers and hands-on practitioners of all kinds. It is such an honor to have such a legend on our show, Dr. Betty Martin. Welcome to Taboo Talks.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is something I know that I learned a long time ago, and it's just been revolutionary. It's a staple with my partner and I. It's a staple and with our friends. It's a practice that is just seems like it's a household name. So I would just be so curious to hear a little bit more about how the Wheel of Consent came into being and why you created it.
Great, sure. Yeah, thanks for
Well,
having me. That's a great question. The Wheel of Consent grew out of a game called the 3-Minute Game, which I learned at a workshop many years ago. It was developed by Harry Faddis. And the game is for two people, and there's two questions, and each of you take turns asking two questions. So that means there's going to be four questions altogether. And the two questions are, what do you want me to do to you for 3 minutes? Oh, I can think of some fun things I might want you to do to me for 3 minutes. And so you have a little conversation and you make an agreement, and then you have 3 minutes to do that thing. So that's the first question. What do you want me to do to you for 3 minutes? The other question is, what do you want to do to me for 3 minutes? Likewise, I can think of some fun things I might like to do to you for 3 minutes. So, between the two questions, when you ask all four of the questions, you end up with four different rounds of the game. I'm doing to you what I want, or I'm doing to you what you want. It's a very big difference between those two. And then you're doing to me what you want, and you are doing to me what I want. So, in a couple of those rounds, you're doing what you're the doing, and a couple of those rounds, you're the done to. And in a couple of those rounds, it's what you want, and a couple of those rounds, it's what I want. And so, I do what I want, I do what you want, you do what I want, you do what you want. And that, when you draw that out, that creates four quadrants and a wheel, and that's what we call the Wheel of Consent. But the important thing to know is that it's the doing it that matters. It's a practice. It's the model is useful, and you'll see yourself on there, and you'll see, oh, that's what was going on. But it's the practice of it that's really useful and teaches you about yourself, and it's the practice of it that's where all the fun is. Yeah, so that's where it came from, along 20, 30 years ago.
It's so much fun. And
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
this game is we've played this game so many times, and I know it was developed for two people, but I can say that you can also play it with more than two
Oh,
people.
yes, absolutely. Yeah,
And that's really
two or
fun.
more people. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm curious to hear, like, this is kind of why it came to be. And for you personally, like, what was your journey with consent, and why were you drawn to creating this and studying this to begin with?
Well, I didn't. Consent was not a big theme for me, but when I learned to play the game, and then I started using, so I learned it at the workshop, and then I started using it with clients because I figured it was a good way to transition from the talking history pay, taking part of the session to the hands-on part of the session. And it would sort of show me what people are comfortable with and what their skill levels are. And then I kept playing with clients, and that is what showed me how impactful it was in showing people where they got stuck, where they got lost, what was hard for them, what was easy for them. It was just so full of ahas that that's where I just had to sit up and pay attention. It's like, oh, wait a minute, this is very significant what's happening here. Because, for example, you might ask me, how do you want me to touch you, or what do you want me to do to you? And suddenly I'm like, oh, I don't know. I never thought of that. Nobody ever asked me that. I'm usually the one doing. I don't know how to know what I want. I don't know how to ask for what I want. I'm ashamed to ask for what I want. I don't know how to receive it once you give it to me. And all this stuff comes up. Or instead of telling you what I want, I tell you what I don't mind terribly much. And this happened over and over. I would ask people, how do you want me to touch you? And they would answer with, well, you can do such and such, I guess, which might be true, but that's a different question. And then I'd say, no, it's about what you want, what sounds wonderful to you. Oh, and then they'd realize, oh, wait a minute, that's a different question. Oh, what is it sounds really wonderful to me? And they'd say, oh, maybe you rub my shoulders or whatever. And that showed me that I was asking what they wanted, but they heard it as, what do you not mind terribly much? That's a very different question. And so that was one of many things that showed me that, oh, this is significant stuff we're playing with here. And so I drew the thing out with one line across, one line up and down. And I thought, well, how to have a name for it. And I started to call it the Wheel of Desire, I realized that there's a Buddhist principle of that name that I didn't want to confuse it with. So I just called it the Wheel of Consent because you had to call it something. And suddenly consent is a big word. And now consent conversation is happening all over the place. And now people think, well, I'm Betty's the queen of consent, which is not true at all. But it's just that's the name that went on the thing. Really, it would be better called the Wheel of Agreement or something, but it's too late. We're not going to change it now. And so then I had to learn, well, now that I'm sort of thrust in the middle of this consent conversation, I better learn a little bit about what people are talking about in the broader consent culture. And I have learned quite a few things. One thing that I've learned is that the word consent is a problematic word because it means so many different things to different people. It's just true of most words, actually. And for example, most people think consent means, well, permission, but it doesn't mean permission. If you look in the dictionary, it means agreeing to what somebody else wants. So consent basically means getting a yes out of somebody. If I get consent, it means I get a yes out of you somehow. If I give consent, it means I'm going along with something that you want. And that's better than nothing, absolutely. But it is not very inspiring for a way to communicate and play with each other. That's really, and that's what's of more interest to me is how can we communicate about what sounds fun and find some way to play in there? That's what's interesting to me. And some people use consent in that way, but most people use it in the terms of get consent or give consent, which is just a gateway model. It's just like open the gate, close the gate. Yes, you can have it. No, you can't have it, which is not really where the fun is.
Beautiful. Thank you
So
for sharing.
that's one of the things that I've learned about consent is that it's probably the wrong word.
We are always evolving. That's a very good point. We are perpetually evolving. I actually was going to wait to ask this question earlier, but it came up. This you mentioned desires and wants and consent. And how do you address ongoing consent? Right. If you gain consent for one particular thing at one particular time, do you have to gain consent every single time? Is it like perpetual consent? Because, I've addressed this with lovers and partners and saying, like, hey, I know we've been intimate, but that doesn't mean that I always want to be intimate or I always want to be touched. My body isn't always accessible. So what would you say to that, and how do you work through that?
I think it depends a lot on your relationship. And I, the fact that we had a wonderful lovemaking session less yesterday, does that mean that it's automatic today? No, of course not. And it's also kind of more likely that it would happen than it would if someone that I hadn't done anything with before. So I think it's reasonable to, it's tricky. On the one hand, a yes today does not mean a yes tomorrow, even to the same thing. That is really true. And if you go into it assuming, well, you said yesterday, therefore you have to say yes today. That's not going to get you very far. At the same time, you can't blame anybody for assuming that if we were sweet on each other yesterday, it's more likely available today. I mean, that seems pretty reasonable. So I don't fault anybody for thinking that if it was okay yesterday, it's probably going to be okay today. But again, it depends on your relationship. Some relationships, some relationships are very transactional. Each time is different time, and that's a great thing. And we may have a different agreement today than we did yesterday. And some relationships tend to be the same sort of boundaries and desires over time, and that's okay too. I'm not going to say that you have to every time you reach out to touch me, you have to ask. That sounds kind of not really so fun.
And
Unless
there's this,
we don't know each other, you know.
That's the issue that I had trouble navigating, because I was like, hey, I know we were intimate, but today I'm feeling a bit more closed off and internal. And he's like, so you need me to ask consent every time I touch you? And I was like, well, no, but yes, but no. And I kind of was in this between realm of being like, no, that's annoying. I get that, for you to say, hey, can I put my hand on the small of your back, or so.
And people are different. For me, personally, I can handle just about any kind of touch from just about anybody. It's not, doesn't bother me. if you come up behind me and put your hand down my back or whatever, like if I don't want it, I'll just say, oh, no thanks, or not, or I'll move out of the way or something. For other people, it would be really awful to have that happen. So you get, I think the point is that you get to decide what works for you. And between the two of you, or three of you, however many there are, you get to decide what works for you in the plural. There's no rule that has to apply to everybody, except if the other person's not enjoying it, you got to stop. Which is the consent rule they teach on the elementary school playground. If the other person is not enjoying it, you have to stop. And really, if grown-ups really understood that, we'd have a lot fewer problems.
I mean, it's radical. My whole childhood would have been different. Just hearing you say that provides so much healing and peace for me and for humanity, because that, I didn't even know what the word boundaries was until I was, in my latter years. I was like, what is a boundary? How do I address it? What is this thing?
It's
What's
not like we're
consent?
encouraged to have them,
It's changing now.
And there's this idea like of nuances, like you were saying, with in relationships too, like maybe it's not always a verbal yes or no, it's an energetic, you feel the energetics. Is that person opening their body posture? Are they making eye contact? Are they pulling away? Are they freezing? Are they, and so I feel like there's just so much more. And also this idea that my partner and I play with of consensual non-consent. So like I'm giving you my consent. And if something doesn't feel good, I'll let you know. But in general, you have my consent to do this certain thing. So there's also that idea too. Or like sometimes we use a certain phrase, which makes it sexier than like, can I, suck your heart? It's gonna like, I'm gonna suck your heart. And then that's kind of it's like a sexier way of saying, can I do this? Like, and then a partner has a chance to respond if they don't want their heart sucked,
And in the practice of the Wheel of Consent, which it is a practice, and that's probably the most important thing to know about it, is that it's a practice. It's something that you come back to over time again and again, and you learn new things and you have new experiences in it. In the practice, it's important to make the verbal agreement very clear and very simple. May I, blah, blah, blah. Will you, blah, blah, blah. And yes or no, or yes, but do it this way, or yes and no, but this one's okay. You get to negotiate and have a conversation there. In the practice, very simple, very clear. Will you, may I? In your real life, like you said, we don't need to be so strict all the time. You may be making a signal, you may be making a hand signal, you may lean up against somebody, you may put your hand on their back, all kinds of different ways that we have of communicating that we want to be close to each other. And
Yeah,
sometimes it may
invitation
be
to.
verbal, sometimes it may be physical or sensory or all kinds of different ways.
Yeah, there's so many ways to tap into our truth and share it with the people around us. And I love where this conversation's going. And before we do an even deeper dive here with the lovely Betty Martin and go into the meat and the core of this, we have a quick message from our affiliates and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Listen up. I have to let you in on the most revolutionary pleasure program I've ever experienced. I'm completely obsessed. The Vita Coaching Certification is one of the most advanced trainings on the planet for sex, love, and relationship coaches, and it's completely transformed my life. It's not just a coaching program, it's a dream erotic education, fusing tantra, neuroscience, IFS, and somatics, full of embodied, juicy pleasure practices. I've shed layers of sexual trauma, religious shame, and toxic patterns. My nervous system is regulating, my pleasure is awakening, and my relationships are thriving. I feel more alive than ever. You become the embodied transmission, walking the path you'll guide your clients through. Plus, the business training sets you up for success. I already have my first client and I'm only halfway through. The support is unmatched. The sisterhood is global. And even though it's online, it feels deeply personal. So if you feel the call to transform your life and rise as a coach that this world desperately needs, click the link and say yes.
Welcome back, everybody, to Taboo Talks. We are here with Dr. Betty Martin as we continue to explore the Wheel of Consent.
Yeah, so we're talking about consent and the wheel and how it came to be from this 3-minute game. And I guess I would just like to really bring the listeners into the Wheel of Consent, the practice itself, and how they can play it with someone else, with their partner, with their friends. So maybe, Betty, can you really just break it down section by section? I know you've already done this a little bit, but then as we go through each section, maybe we can role play it with each other a little bit, see what it actually would sound like, and then share a little bit about how people might use this as a practice in their daily lives.
Sure, that sounds fun. So you and I are going to play the 3-minute game, Elfina, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, if all three of us can do it.
Okay. Well, for simplicity's sake, let's just do you and me.
Okay.
Okay. You can do it with as many people as you want, but for simplicity's sake, we'll stick one-on-one. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, we've already agreed to play. I'm not going to just walk up to you on the street and say, what do you want me to do to you? That's not going to work very well. But we've already agreed to play. So I'm going to ask you, Elfina, how do you want me to touch you right now for 3 minutes? And you're going to pause and check in with yourself. You can remember to breathe if you can. And just notice, what sounds really wonderful right now? And whatever it brings up. So you get to take all the time that you want.
And so this first section is giving. Is that correct then?
Well, I'll be giving to you because I've asked you what you wanted. I've asked you, how do you want me to touch you for 3 minutes?
So I would love to be touched like with an air, like a really light feather touch. And just like really soft and fluid, kind of like air and water, elemental styles mixed together. And I would love, you could just kind of stroke my hair, like really nurturing, like a mother would touch her child's hair. If you want, you can even like sing to me a little bit.
So I noticed you're touching your arms. Is that you want me to touch your arms?
Yeah, you can touch my whole body, especially my hair and kind of my face too, and then down my arms.
So I'm not asking what it's okay to do. You said, this is a great example. I asked what you wanted and you told me what I could do if I wanted. You can touch me, which is great. But the question is, what do you want? How do you want to be touched for 3 minutes?
Yeah,
so
I want to be touched with thought.
So you want to be, I see you.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a great example because very often people will say, well, touch me with love and care or touch me with the elements. And for some people, love and care means soft and slow. For some people, love and care means whips and chains. So what's going to be most useful is to describe what it is, what you actually want me to do with my hands. For example, will you stroke my arms lightly? Or will you stroke my hair softly? Or, you know, because that's something that I can actually say yes to and do. To touch you with love and care, I may have a lot of love and care in my heart, and it may or may not get conveyed, or I may be touching you in a way that doesn't feel loving and caring for you. So it's helpful to hear that, but it doesn't really give me information that I can use to tell my hands what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, specificity feels so important. And I would love to share as the observer what something that came up in my body as you were practicing this. Elfina, as soon as you said, "Yeah, you can touch my whole body," I immediately contracted and I was like, "Oh my God, can I touch her breasts? Can I touch her, her yoni? Like, is everything and then it just kind of I didn't know where to head from there. And so hearing you say like I would like light feathery touches on my head and arms, felt really opening and possible and clear to me. And so, yeah, that distinction was really sharp.
Usually when I play this game, I have so many things. I'm like, I want this, 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 this,
Yeah,
this.
right.
I have a roll for everyone. I like spray me with rose water, saying affirmations in my ear, because it can go beyond the touch
Oh,
too, right? It can be
absolutely.
like all sorts of things, the more people you have too. But I just love that, like the specific being as specific as possible.
Because you can there's you can ask me to touch you in this location with this kind of pressure, with this kind of speed. And that's something that I can actually do. I can deliver that. When it comes to more sort of energetic or things that, think about me with love and kindness while you touch me, well, you don't actually know if I'm doing that or not, really. I mean, it might, when we're in workshops, we get even more specific and we say, you have to use the word will you in there. So you might say, will you stroke my arm slowly and lightly? Or I would like you to stroke my arm slowly and lightly. Will you do that? Because saying will you is, guess what, vulnerable. And so we want to be really clear that you are asking for a favor because that's what you're doing. And it's vulnerable, sort of makes you notice that, oh, I'm asking for someone to do something for me. So if you want to take that up, you also do that, will you?
Yeah, so Betty, I would love for you to just massage my head with like a medium pressure, medium light pressure, and just kind of like make swirly circles in my scalp while you just tone some tones into my head. Will
Okay.
you do that
I'd
to
be happy
me?
to do that. And any kinds of tones, what
Like a heart tone, like a
and what does that mean?
oh, if you
The
just tone
tone's going to come
your
out of my
heart.
mouth.
Just like
What?
from your heart. I don't
Okay.
really care. As
Okay.
long
Okay.
as it comes from your heart, that's
Okay.
what matters
All
to
right.
me.
Okay. Great. Now she's made her, so you have made your request clear. And now it's time for me, as I listened to the request, I heard it. Now it's time for me to notice, is this a gift that I can give with a full heart? And do I understand the request? So I understand that she's asked for massaging on her head, kind of roundabout, and some kind of toning that goes with it. So I'm going to go inside myself. Is that something that I can give a genuine yes to? Or there may be questions. I've already asked my questions. Or there may be some part of it that I'm able to do and some part that I'm not. For example, I may be comfortable massaging your head, but I might not be comfortable toning. Or I might be comfortable toning, but I'm not sure. Maybe I have a hand injury and I only have one hand to do it with. So there might be some kind of negotiation like that. At the moment, there's not. I'm happy to say yes, so I'll say yes. And then we'll set the timer and we'll do that for 3 minutes. So we'll pretend to do that. I'm rubbing your hair, giving a tone. And then that goes on for 3 minutes. And during that 3 minutes, we're both going to notice that this is a gift for you. It's all about you. It's not about my enjoyment. I might enjoy it. I hope I do. It's nice, but it's not about that. This is for you. So you get to change your mind. You get to maybe you want it lighter, maybe you want it slower, maybe you want it softer, maybe you want a different tone. You can totally change your mind and give any refinements. So, yeah, does that ring a bell, or do you have any that you might be aware of? Or can you give an example?
Yeah, like maybe you're halfway through it, and I'm just like, oh, will you also massage my shoulders too? And then maybe giving the listeners an example of if there was a body part or something you didn't feel comfortable, how can you negotiate without hurting the person's feelings, but in a way that feels, kind and respectful?
Within the practice, just say no, I'm not available for that. Because for most people, saying no is hard. And so it's good practice just to say, no, I'm not comfortable with that. In real life, you might want to give a little more of an explanation because you want to support the connection. But within the practice, I just say, no, I'm happy to do your hip, but I'm not comfortable with your shoulders. I can't do your shoulders.
So you can renegotiate, or I can massage your hands. That would feel good, but not your shoulders, right? So giving them like another, it's
You
not always just a closed-ended, right? It's like also.
yeah, you I would say in the practice, don't make a counter offer
Oh.
because if you say, will you now do my shoulders? And I say, no, but I could do your hands. You're going to tend to say, oh, I better get my hands because that's all I can get, so I'm going to go with it, even if it's not what I want. The practice, part of the value of the practice is you getting very good at noticing what you want and speaking it. And so that becomes normal and natural and easy and joyful. So I would say in real life you want to make a counter offer, sure, but within the practice, this is why it's a practice. Within the practice, you want to be very kind of strict and clear and like, no, I'm not available to do your shoulders. It's
And then
just not
I'm
gonna work.
practicing receiving your no, right? And not attaching to it and being like, okay, that sounds good. And then if I want, then that also is another practice for me of vulnerability to ask, will you massage my hands instead?
Yes,
Right?
I'd be happy to massage your hands.
Beautiful.
We're getting people a lot to think about here. This is great.
It might seem like
So,
it doesn't matter, but these things really do
yeah,
matter and they
they do
shift
matter.
everything.
They do matter.
So
And
continuing with this
so
practice.
then, yeah, so then practice. So then we finished. Our 3 minute timer's gone up. We're finished. And then, and this is also very important, you say thank you.
Thank you, Betty.
And I say, you're welcome. You don't get two thank yous. You get one thank you and one you're welcome. And that's because it's important to acknowledge that there was a gift that was given here and a gift that was received. It wasn't for both of us, it was for you. So when I say you're welcome, it helps for me to remember that, oh yeah, that's for you. And sometimes people say, oh my gosh, I forgot it was for me until I had to say thank you. You know, it's yeah. So then we would reverse that. You would ask me how I wanted to be touched, and I would think of all things, and I would ask, and we would just reverse that. That's the first question. Now let's go to the second question. The second question is, how do you want to touch me? Very different question. You want to ask me that question? We'll take turns here. I'll be there.
Yeah, so this
I'll
goes
be,
from more of a take, right? A
yes,
take, a taking to a giving.
yeah.
Yeah, so Betty, how do you want me to touch you? Oh,
That was the first question. We're going to the
I'm
second
sorry.
question
I'm sorry.
now.
Betty.
Listen, everybody gets this turned around.
it's how do you, how do, wait, I'm
How
sorry.
do you want to
I've done
touch
this so
me?
many times.
Yeah,
Like,
you're doing great.
how do you want to touch me, Betty? There
Yeah,
you go. Thank you, Heather.
yeah. Thank you. Great. Okay, so now you have made me an offer, asked me how I want to touch you. Now I'm going to ponder a moment and notice, how do I want to touch you? And it's important here to notice the question is not, how do you think I might want to be touched that you don't mind touching me? That's not the question. The question is, how do you want to touch me? That's for you. So Elfine is asking me how I want to touch her. It's her, right? How I want to touch her. So this means it's an opportunity for my hands to enjoy Elfina's body in some way. Yeah. So I might want to play with her hair. I might want to feel her eyebrows. I might want to explore her shoulders or her hands. I might want to feel the shape of her face and her jaw. I might want to sniff her neck. Lots of things that I might think of that I can do with her body that's enjoyable to me. This is where a lot of people get your brains kind of go, how does that even make sense? And that's because for most of us, doing is sort of welded to the idea of giving. If I'm doing something to you, then by definition, I think it's supposed to be for you. And often it is. But in this case, you've asked me how I want to touch you, and it's for my pleasure. Holy shit. Like, that's a real gift. You're essentially giving me your body here for me to explore. And that is a huge gift. And it's a gift that I take very seriously. So I think I'm going to ask, let's see, may I play with your hair? I'd like to use both of my hands and just feel the texture of it and the shape and weight of it. And you get to pause and notice, is this a gift that I can give with a full heart?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you. So I'm gonna play with your hair, and there may be some limit that you set. Maybe you say, yes, you can play with it, but not don't get close to this ear. Or yes, you can play with it, but don't pull it. Or yes, you can play with it with just one hand at a time. So there might be, limits and conditions, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, of course there are things that you would not allow me to do. Of course you have limits. So I'm playing with your hair, exploring it, feeling it. And if at some point, and I'm noticing that it's for me, I'm doing what I want. You might enjoy it, you might not. I don't care. Because this is for me. This is a gift that you're giving me. If you are enjoying it, great, it's a bonus. But there's no guarantee. It might be lovely, it might be boring. Doesn't matter. It's for me. This is a gift that you're giving me. So I'm playing with your hair. If at some point you realize this is really unpleasant, I don't like this, I don't want to do this anymore, then of course you speak up and say, oops, oh, stop this, I've given you all I want to give you, or I don't want to do this anymore. And that's also perfectly fine because you can change your mind. Of course you can change your mind. And that's so hard for people because we just have been taught in various ways that you're not allowed to do that. But of course you can do that. You're grown up. So now I'm finished playing with your hair. And because I received the gift, I'm going to say thank you. And you're going to say,
I'm gonna say,
you're welcome.
you're welcome.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if it felt wonderful to you, you're still going to say, you're
You're
welcome.
welcome.
Yeah.
Well, this is so interesting. I'm just having this like kind of download around as a woman, as like, a young, attractive woman in my life. There's been a lot of like men specifically who have been like, oh, I would love to give you a massage. And it kind of always sounds like this is something I want to give you. You just get to receive. And then how many times in that process that actually they're taking. Like, I'm giving them my body, what a gift, right? And I am receiving, but they're a lot of the times I've actually feel like they're the ones that are really taking it for their enjoyment. And so it's really interesting to start to observe, like, who is this actually for? Maybe do you think it could be both? Do you think somebody could be giving and taking at the same time, or receiving and taking?
I experience surrender in sex by being a sub. That's just the best way to do it. I spend my time thinking and being on all the time, so I love to let somebody be in control of me.
Want to anonymously be featured on our show? Then head to the link in our show notes to join our email list and get our Taboo Talks card game free. Inside, you'll find juicy taboo questions that turn vulnerability into connection. Play solo or with someone you trust, and maybe even share your truth on our show. Let's make it safe and sexy to talk about it all. See you there.
Well, no, but I want to speak to that massage scenario because it's so common. And if the only way that you have ever heard of to get your hands on somebody is to, quote, give them a massage, unquote, then that's what you're going to try to do. You're going to try to give them a massage. It's just an excuse to get your hands on them. But once you learn the 3-minute game and the wheel of consent, you discover, oh, wait a minute. I just want to feel her up. So why don't I just ask permission to feel her up? Like that would be actually more honest. And it'd probably be a lot more fun, actually. But that's what's happened in that massage dynamic, and it's a very common one. Yeah, of course it is.
But then for me, it's like I was also enjoying receiving. It also felt like a gift for me, but it also felt like a take for them. So, yeah,
So the
interesting.
idea of can you give and receive at the same time? If we're defining receive and give in a particular way, which is what we're doing with the wheel, when you give, you take what you want and you put it on the shelf. It doesn't apply right now. And you go with what the other person wants to the degree that you are willing and able. That's giving. When it's your turn to receive, it's all about what you want. You don't worry about the other person. You respect their limits and boundaries, of course, but you don't worry about giving them any pleasure because it's all about you. It is your turn. So, when you receive, you bring your desire forward. When you give, you put your desire on the shelf. You can't put your desire on the shelf and bring it forward at the same time. Can't do it. Doesn't work.
Yeah, I feel like it just creates a kind of
It just,
confusing
yes,
dynamic where it's
creepy,
like if you were
very
just
confusing.
really clear with that person, you could even try, like, let's do an hour massage. The first half an hour, I want you to give to me the way I want to be touched and just feel what that feels like as a receiver. And then the second half, you can just massage me however you want, as long as I'm okay with it. And noticing the shift of
Noting
like
difference.
how that feels as the person receiving the massage and the person giving, I think is a lot more of an honest way to
It's
move with that.
very difficult to, it's very difficult for most people to find the inner experience of touching someone for their own pleasure. If I'm touching you for my pleasure, it's very difficult for people to find that experience because it's just foreign to us. And that's why in the book and on the videos online, we go through it slowly and gently. Because just kind of foreign for people. And yeah. Oh, and so the people will sometimes say, well, I want it to be for, can it be for both of us? I want to give you a massage and you want to massage, so that's a win-win. Yeah, kind of. And at some point, my hand will be going up your back. I want my hand to go this way, and you want my hand to go this other way. Which way is it going to go? Is it going to go the way I want, or is it going to go the way you want? Well, it depends on what our agreement is. If I'm giving a massage that's for you, it's going to go where you want it to go, and I'm going to ask what that is because I want to, it's for you. We're going to find out what you want. If my hand's going to go where I want it to go, then I would ask for that. May I feel up your back? That's a very different question than would you like a back massage? So if I'm going to feel you up, then I need to, that agreement needs to be clear because I'm not going to try to do the strokes that you like. I'm going to do the strokes that I like. And that's a very different experience. And perhaps ironically, it's probably going to feel better for you anyway, because it's more honest.
This is so profound. I'm so grateful. I'm as you've been sharing and practicing the game, I was reflecting back on some intimate experiences, massage experiences where the lines were just completely blurred, right? They were like, I want to give to you because it gives to me. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, how can I, like, do you
Bullshit.
have an ulterior motive, right? Because I what I'm hearing you say is that oftentimes there's these unmet needs underneath it that aren't being spoken out. And through practicing this game, you gather the tools to be able to say, hey, that doesn't work for me. Like, let's clear this up. Let's clean it up. Let's create a container that feels really good for both of us and is crystal clear. And that feels really empowering, like deeply empowering. And something that hasn't directly come up, but I'm cu well, we've tiptoed around it. That I'm curious about is with your experience, what you see the difference being between people pleasing and true generosity.
That's a good question.
I know.
That's a good question. Generosity comes from having enough extra and enough care for people that you can set aside what you want and go with what people want. That's a wonderful quality to have, and thank God we have that sometimes. And thank goodness people around us have that sometimes. People pleasing is a strategy to keep yourself safe. And it's a good strategy because it worked when you were a little kid. If if I'm growing up in a situation that's unsteady or dangerous or unpleasant or really difficult in some way, I'm going to have to keep myself safe. And one way that I can do that is to keep everybody around me happy. And that's a very good strategy and a brilliant strategy for us as children. And sometimes it saves our lives. So don't complain about it. The problem is that it ceases to be useful when we get to be grown-ups. But we still use it because that's what we know how to do. So the degree that I am wanting to make myself safe with you, I'm going to try to make you happy. And so I'm going to always say yes. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to always, I'm never going to say no. I'm going to always try to da 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 da. And that's going to keep you around. You won't leave me. And it'll keep you from getting mad at me or yelling at me or hitting me. So it's a strategy to keep myself safe. And it's a time-honored strategy. A lot of people use it. And I think we probably all do to some degree. I don't know if that's true or not, but seems like it. Yeah.
These protective mechanisms, right,
Yeah.
that we carry and
Yeah.
we start to, as we become more
Yeah.
conscious, become more aware of and
Yeah.
peel back the
Yeah.
layers of. And as I'm feeling into this whole conversation and the wheel of consent, I actually remember a conversation I was having with a friend the other day, where we were like, when you can just like feel when a man wants something from you and he's not being direct, and it's like this kind of takey energy, or he comes up to you at the bar and he's like, "Can I buy you a drink?" But what he actually wants to say is, "I want to sleep with you." And
Right.
I was feeling into the beauty of a world where everyone was so direct and honest, and how like flipping liberating that would be
Yeah.
to just fully be in our body's truth at all times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm curious if you think it's possible to get to that point, if we're headed to that point where we can get to that place where we're just so upfront with what we want, like that it's, there are no questions anymore. There's nothing to discuss. It just is.
Excuse me. I think it's possible for an individual, here's what I've seen. It's possible as an individual to learn how to access your ability to speak what's true about you. That is true. I've done it. I've seen it. It doesn't mean, however, that it's wise to go into every social situation and say everything that you know. So there might be, yeah, it's not going to work. It's not wise and it's not necessary. And it could be unkind, it could be dangerous. But if you have the skill and the ability to do it, then you can decide when to use that and when not to use it. Yeah.
Discernment.
Yes. And you develop some discernment. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, on the flip side too, I'm responsible for my, I'm sovereign over my emotions. And so if, backtracking to what I was sharing, if a man does come up to me at the bar, I can, and I feel in that moment to say, "Hey, are you asking to buy me a drink because you just want to sleep with me?" And there can be kind of this play of like digging for the truth, which is something that I'm kinky
Yeah,
for. I'm like,
yeah,
what's underneath this?
yeah,
Let's get
yeah.
to the bottom of
And it
it.
may, and it, he may not actually want to sleep with you. He just may want to have a conversation. Or he may be incensed that you turned it so direct, or that you're implying that he's not being honest, that that makes him mad. And then, I mean, any number of scenarios could ensue. Yeah.
That's a good
Yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Perhaps framing it of like with the sentence, my story is,
Yeah.
this may be true, it may not be true, but I'm
Yeah.
curious if it's true, can start to be something to play with in the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll go out into the field and report back.
Yes, yes. Good trial. Yeah, field trial.
I'll do a field trial. And wow,
Nice.
I mean, Oh,
Yeah, and
okay.
I just have a one more question before we wrap this section, just a little more around the shadow side of everything, around what are the consequences of not gaining full consent, and how does this relate specifically when people have had sexual violations, abuse, trauma responses? Yeah, I just like to go a little bit into that because just even in my own partnership, we sometimes go into trauma responses, even though we like there's so much love and, and even in our relationship that can come up. And so I'm just thinking about even it with strangers, people we just meet, all the way into lovers and partners. Yeah, what have you seen in your work of the consequences of not gaining full consent and how trauma plays into this as
Oh boy, that's a whole other different seminar.
well?
I mean, thankfully, much more is known about trauma than was known 20 or even 5 or 10 years ago. So there's a lot of really good study on it nowadays. What I can say truthfully is that we have all, every one of us, been touched against our will in ways that we did not want, we did not like, and we were powerless to stop. And for every one of us, that happened before we could talk. That means it's pre-verbal, and that means it's very deep in our psyche and in our body. And that means that you know how to go along with shit that you don't like. It is a skill that you possess, every one of us, every one of us. So not just for people who've been, traumatized, whatever, like even in the very best of circumstances, you got your diapers changed, you got your teeth brushed, stuff happened that you didn't like. So if you're lucky, as you grow up, you learn that sure enough, you do have a choice sometimes. But many people never really learned that. We grow up and we think, well, touch. Oh, yeah, touch. That's that thing that just happens, and I don't have any control over it, and I just have to deal with it somehow. That's many people's only experience of touch, including sexual touch. And so they get in this, a reasonably peaceful, happy sexual relationship. But they never have the experience of being touched exactly the way they want because they don't know it's possible. This is especially true for women. They don't know that it's possible because nobody ever asked them what they wanted. And if they did, they wouldn't know how to answer anyway because touch, that's that thing that somebody always wants to do to you, and you have to figure out how to be okay with it. That's a lot of people's only experience of touch. And not surprisingly, because it starts when we're so small. And we sort of think, well, that's the nature of it. It's the nature of the beast. And plus, then we don't get the touch that we do want. And so we just think, well, I'm supposed to settle for crumbs. That's the nature of touch, settling for crumbs. So it playing the 3-minute game and the wheel of consent is often, for many people, the first time that they experience touch that's exactly what they want. And it is mind-blowing. Is mind-blowing.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, thank you, Betty, for really introducing something so deeply revolutionary and supportive for so many people to remind us that we have a choice, we have needs, we have desires, and there's so much beauty and power in communicating them. I'm so grateful that in this segment we had the opportunity to go deeper into the wheel of consent. You and Elfina played a little role play. And yeah, we're going to take a short break from one of our magnificent and gorgeous affiliates and stay with us. And we will be right back in a moment to continue with Dr. Betty Martin. See you soon.
Hey, hot stuff. We're going to take a quick pause from the show just because I'm so excited to tell you guys about one of the most transformative online tools that I've used that has really unlocked my pleasure journey to the next level. And that is the OMGS course. So until this last year, I actually struggled to orgasm on my own without the help of a toy. I felt dependent, I felt hopeless, and I honestly felt like there was something wrong with me. But within just 2 weeks of starting this course, I had my first orgasm from my own touch, and I was like, hallelujah, I'm not broken. And it's just opened up so much since then. I can honestly say it's just gotten better and wetter from there. So OMGS course is a fun, user-friendly course packed with all sorts of different videos and techniques and showcases a myriad of different women. And it will completely shift the way that you experience pleasure. So whether you're struggling with orgasms or maybe you just want to amplify your pleasure, both solo and with a partner, this course is truly a game changer. You can use the link in our show notes below to unlock your orgiastic potential and also to support the expansion of the cis society movement. Now back to your show.
Well, Betty, it's been so incredible really going into this transformative healing power of consent and the art of giving versus receiving, and really how we can practice this in our everyday lives. And before we wrap up this episode of Taboo Talks, I just want to leave the listeners with some practical advice. And so, what advice would you give to someone who has never asked or has a really hard time asking for what they want? And how would you help them to get clear on their desires and boundaries so they can ask for what they want?
Oh boy, that's a good one. Well, first of all, don't beat yourself up for it because it's inherently vulnerable. It's not vulnerable because you're broken. It's inherently vulnerable to ask for what you want because as soon as you ask, now your desire is out there in the daylight for everybody to see. And you could get laughed at, you could get shamed, you could get cold note, you could get beat up. I mean, it's vulnerable. Of course it is. So don't beat yourself up for it. And if you want to learn how to start asking for what you want, I recommend that you start with something that's small, short, is less difficult than something else. So it may be really intimidating to ask for, help and something or other, or, a 2-hour massage or whatever. That may be a little bit too much to ask for. But if you can ask for, would you bring me a glass of water? That counts. Would you, may I put my feet in your lap for a few minutes? If that's easy, or something easy. For some people, it's easier to ask for something pleasurable and it's hard to ask for help. For other people, it's the other way around. It's easy to ask for help, but it's hard to ask for something that's pleasurable. So you can experiment, but start with something short and small and simple. You can also practice with the barista. Will you make me a caramel macchiato or blah? I don't even know what those things are, but the blah, 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 with the thing, with the kind of milk, because they are there. That's their job to find out what you want. So that's another sort of way. Be courteous, of course, but so yes, start with something small. And it also, sometimes people, if they want to sort of start this dynamic of taking turns and receiving and giving, they'll start with asking what their partner wants, which is one way to do it. However, the problem is that now you're asking your partner to be vulnerable, and they may not really want to be vulnerable yet. So I think it's more helpful and more honest to make your own request first and then the offer. So, for example, will you rub my shoulders for 5 minutes, and then I'll do something that you want for 5 minutes. Will you rub my feet for a few minutes, and then I'll do something that you want for a few minutes? Because then you are taking the risk first. And that can help to establish or normalize the idea of taking turns. And that's also a nice way to start. Yeah. There are things that are going to be easier to ask for, and other things going to be harder to ask for. Of course, that's totally natural. Yeah. And we had to learn really early not to ask. When we're infants, that's all we do. We cry. We're asking for something. And with lesser or greater success, depending. And we pretty soon learn not to ask because it didn't work, or we got shamed, or we got in trouble, or all kinds of stuff. So it's completely natural to not to, to for it to be hard to ask. That's true for many, many people.
Thank you for
Yeah.
sharing that
Yeah.
compassionate take. And something's coming up around reciprocation. Do you feel like there always needs to be reciprocation? Like if I, for example, as a woman, it's been challenging for me to ask for what I want because I always felt like I owed men specifically something. Like, oh, if I go out with them, I owe them sex. Or if I do this, I owe them that. Do you feel like, yeah, I would love to hear you speak into that before
Well,
we.
in relationship, you want some reciprocity, of course you do. And there are times when you can't reciprocate. If you've had surgery and you're recovering, you can't reciprocate, or your partner is terminally ill, is not going to reciprocate. So there are times when you can't. And when you receive a gift, especially in the practice of the wheel, it's really helpful that you take your turn and you actually take your turn and it's all for you. And in a relationship, yes. You want some reciprocity.
And maybe it's not like even right in that moment. I'm thinking of
Yeah.
an example of when I'm in my deep luteal and I'm just really feeling run down or tired or sensitive. And maybe I ask, can you give this to me right now? But it doesn't mean I don't want to reciprocate. Maybe I'm just energetically not in a place to give and it doesn't feel genuine. But then when I am in that place again in a day or a week, then I give.
Yeah,
It doesn't always
absolutely.
have to be right then,
Absolutely.
right then and
Absolutely.
there.
Yeah. And the wheel of consent as a practice, you reciprocate right away. And that's really helpful because it means that you can't avoid having a turn that's for you. Think, oh, I just want to give, 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 give. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to have a turn for that's for you also. But you could also it's your turn today, it's my turn tomorrow, it's your turn again the next day. It's, that's also totally fine, but it's important within the context of the practice that you use the clock and you stick to the clock and you both take your turn. In your real life, it doesn't always work out that way, of course, nor would you want it to. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah.
And thank you for deep diving into the Wheel of Consent. It's been so
Sure.
incredible to get an opportunity to practice it in real time. And outside of the Wheel of Consent, I am curious what is alive in your world right now? What are you working on? What are you excited about? Where are you at right now?
Well, I'm excited about hanging out with my granddaughter, who's 13 and lots of fun. And I have stepped, as you, I think you said in your intro, I've stepped back from teaching the training classes that I developed, and I'm stepping back from running the school and all that stuff. And it's transitioning into younger generations' hands, and they're doing great. I will be seeking out different conferences and things to speak at because that's still fun. And yeah, and I love these kinds of podcasts and things because it's fun to talk to people, and different people have different kinds of questions, so there's different conversations that happen. So that's what I'm up to these days. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing what's alive in your world. And thank you for joining us today. It's really been such an honor to share time and space and conversation with you. And for those of you listening to connect with Betty and her work, be sure to check out our show notes. We will link them below and everything you need to find out what's alive in her world. We'll be there. And please stay tuned for the next episode of Taboo Talks. We love you. We appreciate you. We wouldn't be here without you. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you for tuning into Taboo Talks, where some truths need to be spoken and some silences need to be broken. Each week, we come together with diverse minds to explore and integrate the dance between shadow and light. Join our community and stay connected to all of the exciting movements of our mission through our website at cissociety.world, where you can sign up for our email list. This is the best way to stay updated on new taboo topics, episodes of our podcast, and even find live events near you. On our website, you'll also find links to follow our podcast, Taboo Talks, on platforms like Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. For those who want to dive even deeper, you can join our private WhatsApp community to engage in meaningful discussions about taboo topics with members from all over the world. So don't miss a moment. Visit cissociety.world and share these conversations to support the expansion of our mission. Together, we can spark the change the world needs. Until next time, stay curious, stay open, and remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it.